Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema on a Monday morning. And Trevor is safe and sound, for those of you who are wondering. Trevor, the situation turned out to be not quite as bad as it looked like it was going to be. Best case scenario. And it seems like, at least in your area, things were okay.
Is that the new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.
Oh, yeah. I am, people know the geography of Florida. I'm from that west coast of Florida that the hurricane kind of went right up. But this morning, you know, as of Monday, I heard from basically all my friends and family. To everybody was saying that they were okay. The storm kind of... Man, I got to think that because it was so big in size that it just couldn't maintain strength and ended up being only a Category 2 when it made landfall. And very, very thankful for that. The family is good. You know, some power outages for a lot of them, but not a lot of damage. And obviously, they're all safe. So very good here. I was very relieved of that. So instead, I'm still just in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I guess I got a mini vacation out of it.
There you go.
That's what I was hoping for. That's what I was hoping to be able to say. So
I've also learned that you know an odd amount about weather and predicting patterns and things like that. So we may have to add a segment to the show at some point. But
hey, if you live in Florida, you got to know about it, man. That's true, I guess.
Yeah, up here in PA, we just know it snows in September usually, so we just practice profanity to deal with it. We got to talk about NFL rookie performances. And I feel like we have to start with the only rookie starting quarterback,
sure,
DeShone Kizer, because played
not
against
the only
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Quarterback to play, though.
Right, correct. Which we'll get to in a second as well. But Kizer was 20 of 34, 222 yards and a touchdown and a pick. And had another pick that was dropped. There were some good things for Kizer for sure. His arm is very, very good. Some of the mechanical issues are still there with the ball, like nose dives on him. Receivers had to go to the ground, make some tough sliding catches, but the arm is great. He's poised. He didn't seem rattled by situations so much, but the mental processing was so slow in the pocket. I mean, he got sacked 7 times, and I think they were. The vast majority were on him. I would not put most of them on the offensive line. He's just too slow to – and he's a rookie. I mean, it's his first start. It's completely understandable. It's fine. They'll take it. He showed some good things as well. Missed on a couple shots vertically. There were definitely some inaccuracy concerns. So an up and down, uneven performance. He'll face better secondaries than the Steelers, but the front was really good, and the Browns couldn't run the football at all. So – that made it tough because the defense was basically like, go ahead, try and throw on it, beat us and throw the ball. And so, and I thought Kizer did, you know, well, considering. But 17 carries for 33 yards for Isaiah Crowell, that's not going to cut it very often.
Yeah, I mean, it was a welcome to the regular season for a lot of these teams, yep, right? And so, you know, what's the first thing you got to do in the game of football? Establish the run, whatever it is. You know, you can be – you know, as spread of an offense as and you want to be as pass heavy as you want, but even as we saw in the Steelers game, you know, you've got to run the ball. You've got to be good at running the ball, or a lot of times it's just different. And so, you know, regular season defenses, we saw Kizer do really well against, you know, he had really good moments when he played the Bucs in the preseason during that first game,
right,
that he was named the starter. And you know, not a lot of the Bucs starters played in that game. And so you want to take the good things that you saw from Kizer, you know, the traits that you saw, the confidence, And that's good. You should. Those are building blocks, certainly. But now, okay, here we are, regular season football, regular season speed and effort from an entire starting line of a defense. And all of a sudden, you know, maybe the run game's not getting off to as fast a start as they were, you know, in that game against the Bucs. And then it's like, okay, well, now things like look a little bit more cluttered. Windows look a little bit smaller. You know, pressure's coming a little bit faster. And so as long as Kizer still looked confident, had confidence at times, I'm totally okay with him in the early forms of his season, even, you know, in times that he's going to struggle. And, you know, it was a close game, you know, so I think that was good for him, too, to experience a pretty close game, whether it was his defense that kept him in it or him kind of leading that offense to get as many points as they needed to stay relevant. But even though it's a loss, as long as he still had that confidence, I'm okay with it, because that was the whole main thing with Kizer. I think the rest of the stuff's going to come fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little bit hung up on the fact that the Steelers played like certified butt cheeks, but I do agree with you that
certified.
I mean, it was certified butt cheeks. But the other rookie who really stood out in this game, T.J. Watt, and he did have two sacks, and they were, you know, everybody's gonna say, "Oh, T.J. Watt, he had two sacks. He was working against Joe Thomas." It didn't go down like that, but you know, he's a high effort guy who's a really good athlete. You're gonna make effort plays. You're gonna get production just based on that. So. Love that about him. Two sacks. That's great in a debut, right? Got the pick. It was, you know, he had to climb the ladder forward a little bit. So, you know, he did some good things, and I thought some of his best snaps were. Too? Yeah, he had a pick. He picked off. He dropped down to the flat and sunk on the ball.
Two sacks and a pick in his debut.
Oh yeah, bro.
That's insane.
No big deal.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. The first sack
was.
We gotta do an in-depth scientific look at how whatever Watt's parents fed their kids and then whatever Bosa's parents fed their kids. Because we got to know. We're building the next great American football players, okay? Like, we got to know the formula.
This is important content.
They figured it out. And football is going to come to the Olympics somehow, and China's going to steal that stuff before we get to it. So we got to get on it first, okay?
Unlikely, but I agree.
I just don't want that to be a reality, okay?
Yeah. Well, Watt's sacks were a little bit weird. He tried to speed rush Thomas to the outside and then did like a spin counter back inside, but he didn't really get clean, but Kizer like rolled right into him. So it was kind of like a gift a little bit. It was honestly like his preseason sacks. And then the other one was just a straight hustle play. Like everybody chased him. Kizer held the ball for like a full minute. Like Watt had like it came from like he was like on all it was all over the field. It was I don't know why Kizer didn't throw the ball away. It was out of the pocket. It didn't make any sense. He just held it, and then he got sacked. And it was like, but it was just a total effort play. And then the pick was right to him as well. He did have to climb the ladder a little bit, but yeah, definitely a bad throw. So it was a good debut, and I thought he had did some good things outside of the sacks even too. So. Good debut for T.J. Watt for sure. Get to the All-22 and have more on that. But, oh, man, Jabril Peppers played in this game too. He missed a huge tackle on Antonio Brown in the open field.
Don't we all?
Yeah, that resulted in some big yak that hurt the team. He also fumbled a punt, I think, or something like that. He did end up recovering it, though. I think it was a punt, yeah. I didn't notice him in coverage very often. The Browns were literally playing him like 25 yards off the ball, like single high, deep free safety. And the Steelers didn't throw vertically that much, so he wasn't tested a whole lot. Things got condensed in the red zone, and I think he was in pretty good coverage in the red zone area from what I noticed of him throughout the game. So some ups and downs for him for sure. Who else stood out week one? Leonard Fournette, maybe, carrying the Jaguars offense to their thumping of the Houston Texans. Who saw that coming? I'm not high on the Texans. I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, but I didn't think Jacksonville was gonna beat them either. So, and Jacksonville, what, they have 10 sacks in this game? Did you see that?
I think 9, or did 9? They end up with 10? I don't remember. Something, either 9 or 10, but I
think the number was so mathematically high that they actually couldn't count it.
I know.
I mean, oh, no, it was 10 sacks. 10 sacks. They lost 54 yards on it, and there were at least 3 strip sacks. And they had another one. Malik Jackson had a sack, and they ruled his arm was coming forward, but it was super close. So there could have been like 11 and 4 strip sacks.
Dude, the Texans offensive line. When I watched Jacksonville, when the Bucs went there to do the joint practices, their defense is they're monsters. Mm-hmm. That on paper, that defense is so good. And I'm not gonna call them a top five defense because I still don't know about their linebacking unit. Like Tevin Smith is super fast. Miles Jack is Miles Jack, but there's still like a question mark in terms of how that gels with stopping the run or being in coverage together. I like the talent there, but it's still just a little unknown for me. However, like on paper, I love it. Like the whole defense is phenomenal. And let's talk about this here. Let's touch on this real quick. Dante Fowler Jr. Like,
yeah, he got better.
A hell of a day.
Yeah.
And he also had a pretty dang good practice week against the Bucs.
And preseason.
And he showed a good preseason game. Now, to be fair, the Bucs starting right tackle was out. But, I mean, like, he was eating against a guy that he should be eating against, right? So that kind of brings up my point to say, Dante, we had already condemned Dante Fowler to be dead, okay?
Yes, right.
And this is a guy who, his college production was a little weird. It came in spurts, but obviously had the body type to play defensive end. You love right. that about him. And then tears his Achilles, I think, his rookie year.
Was it his knee? I think he tore his ACL in his first minicamp practice is what I recall.
Yes. Okay, that was what it was. I couldn't remember if it was Achilles. All right, but you are right. I do think it was. Anyways, season-ending injury. So we literally don't even speak his name for an entire year. Then he comes back for basically – now not only is he stacking his first year in the NFL, but he's also stacking that on a, hey, you're recovering from a major knee injury mentally. So he's trying to go through all of that at the same time. And when he doesn't produce like people thought he would, they go, wow, this dude sucks, doesn't he? And right. now he is here in – he's in year three, I think, right? This is year three for him?
Yes, yeah, year three.
So this is technically year three since he was drafted. And he's looking great.
Yeah. Imagine player getting better and improving over time.
We condemn these players.
Miles Jack, 14 tackles the other day. I watched the tape. He looks way better. It happens with so many
guys. So early. Yeah, we just don't. And I know that we're spoiled because there are a handful of these players who just come out of the draft, have a great first year because you know why? They went to a good team with a good fit, with a coach that understood them, that taught them the way that they needed to right off the bat. And guess what? They got the most out of their talent, and they're producing right away. And that's great. Mm-hmm. But we have to realize that so much of the NFL draft has to do with fit and learning curve, okay? So when we go through these things and when we look at these players, you got to realize that whole when people online go, I don't really want to do look back mock drafts from last year's draft and be like, here's where they went wrong. I wait at least 3 years out to do those kinds of things. This is why. Now you get to see. Because after 3 years, you kind of get it about a player. But after 1 year, come on.
Oh, yeah.
You have to give these rookies adequate time. And I just did. I wanted to say that as I was watching things about Fowler and everything. And Jags fans are awesome. They're funny. I love a lot of them. I love a lot of those Jags fans. And I know that, you know, when they blow up and stuff about Fowler over the last couple of years, they're just being fans. And that's fine because I love that part of it too.
But it wasn't just Fowler either, though. And it's not just Jags fans. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, just saying in general, right. You got to give these. You can't genuinely condemn them before you need to. You right. really can't.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. And, we see it all the time. I mean, Jared Goff was one of the best quarterbacks in the league this week. This week, for this performance, week one, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And
how bad are the Colts?
Oh, the Colts are horrible. Yeah, they're Holy horrible. Colts honestly might 90s. Be worse than the Jets if Luck doesn't play at all this season. I mean, it honestly, it's that bad.
Gosh.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams' offensive line looked like the Cowboys' offensive line. That's how, I mean, there was nothing they had to worry about up front. I mean, the Colts are bad in every facet of football.
Did Malik Hooker play?
I don't even know. It wouldn't even matter. They're horrible. I don't think he didn't start. I don't think so. Because I saw TJ Green in there getting smoked by everybody. Cooper Kupp was like spinning TJ Green like a top on routes down the field. I was like, bro. TJ Green in his second round pick was one of the biggest jokes I've ever seen. But there I go, condemning a guy in his second or third season. I forget. But
wow.
Hey, he hasn't shown anything, though. Fournette, 26 carries, 100 yards. It wasn't like a big explosive, like this guy's a game breaker performance, but it was a everybody knew Jacksonville was going to run the football. Houston has a great defensive front, and Fournette just kept grinding away. And the offensive line is young for Jacksonville. They're not great. They're coming together. But it was just, this was a grinded out offensive performance. Take advantage of the short fields. Field position was great all night because of all the sacks that the defense piled up. Take advantage of them. Chip in field goals where you need to. I think Myers kicked a couple, three, I think, on the day. Short yard, you know, 1 yard touchdown pass, 1 yard touchdown run. Take advantage of the short fields. Do what you guys do best, a defensive score. You know, I expect Jacksonville to put up, 29 points every week? No. Like I said, one of those touchdowns was defensive. But at the same time, if there's a formula for success for this offense, it's Blake Bortles throwing just 21 times or less as he did in this game, and he was pretty bad. And Fournette and not turning over the football, and Fournette carrying the workload, 26 carries, 100 yards, a touchdown. He had a 17-yard run that was really impressive. To me, I thought one of the best things, he caught three passes for 24 yards, and he looked very natural doing it. He looked very natural in space. To me, that was a really encouraging part because he has open field traits that are just like scientifically ridiculous because he's so big and can move at such a great explosive speed. I don't think he's like, he wasn't my number one back or anything like that, an early second round grade on him. But I said, to me, that's the range where you're like a very good starter in the NFL. I think that's what he can be. And I thought this was exactly that kind of performance from him.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us crapped on Fournette, but that's just because the rest of the running back class was so good, and that we were told that Fournette was just going to be this generational talent. And the thing is that, like you said, the things that we saw from him yesterday, it shouldn't have shocked people.
Right.
He did all this kinds of crap at LSU. This is who he is. The problems that we had with him is when the defenses get better, when the defensive fronts get tighter, because they certainly are, than what the Texans gave them yesterday. And I know people are going to say, they were the best defense in the NFL last year. Yeah, they didn't look like it yesterday. So, like, don't tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
So when defenses start to do little different things and Fournette's got to think for himself and get through small spaces, yes, I still worry about that with him. And the worry that I'm always going to have with him is injury. So when Fournette's on the field, sure, he can do all kinds of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So it was a great day for him. It was an awesome debut for him. And I mean, he obviously had a better day than McCaffrey did. So
yeah.
Jags fans have to – I know a lot of Jags fans who did want McCaffrey. Maybe Dalvin Cook will go off tonight and Jags fans will still be like, man, I wish we would have drafted Dalvin Cook. But for now, they at least get to be pretty happy about the Fournette pick because he was great yesterday.
Right. And Kenny Golladay was another rookie who really stood
out. Holy
cow. Did you see his touchdown? Man. Holy
yes.
moly. They've already christened him in Detroit, so he's the GOAT.
I didn't draft Kenny Golladay in fantasy. So, like him, and then we can talk about Tariq Cohen next. Those are two guys who at the very end of all of my fantasy drafts, I had those guys as options because, I'm a draft guy. I know their names. I know their potentials and what they've had. And I was just like, there's no way Cohen's going to play nearly enough more than Jordan Howard. Come on. No way.
Yeah.
Well, wrong. And the same thing with Golladay, man. I was like, they have so many weapons and so many different things that they could do on that offense. I can't see Golladay getting enough attention to be fantasy relevant. Well, wrong.
Yeah.
So those two guys.
There you go.
I don't think I picked either of those two guys in any of my leagues
because
leagues weren't deep enough. And they were on my radar the whole time, and I was just like, come on, there's no way. Here it is, week one, tearing it up. Good for them.
A lot of rookies stood out, I thought. I mean, it was a good first week for rookies overall, I thought. I skipped over to Deshaun Watson there, though. His performance was really uneven, but, he comes into the game. He didn't get reps with the first team all week, so it's a little bit hard to judge a rookie off. And he led a touchdown drive on his first drive.
Well. It should have been an interception drive.
Didn't Miles Jack pick him off? And then
there was an awful call of like he threw the ball, and then I think somebody hit him in the head.
Oh,
like just like tapped him in the head,
Yannick,
and they said hands to the head of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So Houston gets the ball back, and so I think he should have turned it over like twice on that drive, and it ended up
and then he did throw
up
a pick
being
later.
A touchdown drive.
Yeah. He has been rocky, let's put it that way. And we'll see if they charge. To me, I don't know. What in the world was Bill O'Brien thinking? I mean,
You can't start Savage now. It's over.
Well, yeah, that and the fact that if you watch the first half of this game, there's no, like, I don't even like Savage, and there's no way on earth you could blame him for anything that was going. He was literally getting killed. They had like 7 sacks in the first half. Calais Campbell set the franchise record for sacks in a game by one player in like a quarter and a half. And he
first game as a Jaguar too.
Oh my! It was like the most ridiculous performance in an NFL game I've ever seen. I mean, not only in terms of like execution, but it was, I mean, they weren't even trying. Like the Texans tackles looked like just dudes you pulled off the street trying to block like steamrollers. It was absurd. I mean,
O-line's important.
And
folks.
Then you're like, oh, let's throw our rookie quarterback who's never started a game and who's the future of the franchise and we traded up for in the first round. Let's throw him out to get his legs chopped off by these
Well,
monsters.
I think they did that just because Deshaun can, I guess, you know, he can get out of the pocket a little bit. Savage can't. So,
but
I guess
still.
It was a tough spot. But
that's trial by fire, man.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But I don't know. For Deshaun, yeah.
I think it's just we're going to have to see, but let's be honest, early returns haven't been favorable. That's our QB1, and he hasn't looked great in preseason, and he does some. He had some moments that he's real, but consistently, you know, and still avoiding those mistake situations, didn't see a lot of that from him. So, yeah, I'm concerned. I mean, it's early. I mean, even if he sucks this whole year, I'm not going to draw any conclusions about it. We got to, you know, see how he improves. The list of quarterbacks who sucked early on in their careers and then went on to be very good, pretty big list. So, yeah, I'm not going to be concerned, but you know, for right now, we'll call it what it is. And he hasn't been great as long as he's been out there. So, one rookie who was really good, who I don't know if he's getting enough pub, Eddie Vanderdoes. I got to see a little bit of that and a little bit of what he did. He only had one tackle, I think, but he was totally dominant in the trenches. There's a play where he puts Jack Conklin straight to the ground with a punch. I mean, he just rocks him. And that was the thing I loved about Vanderdoes in college. In the trenches, he just ate guys up. He had such a strong, low-leveraged punch right to guys' chests. I mean, that initial contact, just that head-snapping kind of contact at the point of attack to gain control of guys right away. I think he has potential as a pass rusher, but right now he's just going to be a devastating presence against the run. And Oakland absolutely needed that, man. So I think that was one of the most encouraging rookie performances for me that I saw in week one. But I know you have somebody you want to talk about, your boy, our son, Corey Davis.
Oh. When Corey Davis caught that first pass on the sideline, and it was like through traffic, in the air, body control, near the sideline, got the feet down, I literally like stood up and screamed. Because that was...
I'm picturing you just standing up and just screaming.
Because all I heard about from people was that doubted Corey Davis. Now, there were a lot of people who loved Corey Davis. I'm not trying to say I was the only one. There was a very big Corey Davis hive, and for good reason. But, you know, people were like, oh, you know, he doesn't separate well. He's not great catching through traffic. He really should have dominated his competition better for the level it was in. Yeah, whatever. So he gets drafted high, and
you're just a little mad about it. Not a big deal.
We get to see. No, I'm just aggressively proud of my son, wide receiver one, Corey Davis.
6 catches for 69 yards for Davis. Very nice performance. And if that isn't an indication of future greatness, I don't know what it is. Great stat line for Corey Davis.
I'm just very excited for him, and it's going to be a fun era for him in that offense.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Because down the line, very soon down the line, really, that offense is going to be the Marcus Mariota, Corey Davis, Derrick Henry show.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, that's an enjoyable offense.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think that he asserted himself really well, especially considering how much he missed a lot of practice time. And so that's something to consider as well with these young guys. But how about Christian McCaffrey? I thought his debut was very up and down. I noticed there was one time he ran a route. I think it was a slant. I think he was in the slot, if I recall correctly. And he didn't settle down in his zone, and he like, kept running and came through behind him, and it was almost picked off. And, you know, you got to kind of stop and sit in that hole. And then He had another, he tried to bounce a run way outside, like maybe he could have pulled off at Stanford, and he just got swarmed over, and then they stripped the ball from him, and he just kind of got beat up a little bit. But then there were other times when the gap was there, when he showed that unreal explosiveness that you want to see from him, that, that got you excited about the things he could be moving forward.
Yeah, no, I'm up here in Charlotte, and I got up here yesterday in time to watch the entirety of the Panthers game with a lot of people that I'm staying with here. And at one point during the game, so you know what they talked about? They have having two different playbooks, really, for Jonathan Stewart and Christian McCaffrey because they're so different. So at one point in the game, Kelvin Benjamin didn't have a reception. I think he had three targets. Greg Olsen didn't have a reception. He had four targets. Jonathan Stewart had, I think, six or seven touches at that point in the game, and McCaffrey had 16 touches. And so, like, clearly they tried to get this guy involved as, you know, their truly gadget player that they could use wherever. Right. And I thought that he was fine. He showed some good moments, and he showed some of those moments where he looked just so natural with the ball in his hands as a football player, you know, making little cuts here and there. But you notice in game one what the difference between NFL speed and college speed is, because you're right. Him running to the outside in college at Stanford, he can turn the corner, and you know, McCaffrey's at least getting 3 or 4 yards on those plays. In the NFL, he's getting met at the line of scrimmage before he makes it to the sideline, and he's getting popped so hard the ball comes out. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sitting here trying to like sound the alarm like McCaffrey's talent isn't going to be what it was at Stanford, but I am saying that for McCaffrey to be the guy that you want him to be, everything that you wanted him to be as the first round pick that you drafted him for, he has to be more savvy, and that's going to come with time, and I don't doubt that that's going to come from him, but he has to be just as smart at recognizing things at NFL speed than he is also at making people miss, because he was still making people miss. You know, the speed is still there. The agility is still there. The pass catching, the route running, it's all going to come. He's just got to have some more experience. He's got to get more savvy with the things that he's doing. And you'll see a lot of really efficient production from him once he does. But we'll see that learning curve from him, too. He looks small, man. He does.
Yeah.
I think he looks small. He looks like cornerback small.
Yeah, he's definitely not a big dude. I mean, but he.
So, you could, I don't know how much more weight he would put on, but like, for, you know, when they give the ball to Jonathan Stewart or something, you know, a traditional running back who's used to pounding the football, you know, in between the tackles. Again, not saying McCaffrey can't run between the tackles. Don't come after me. But I'm just saying, like, size difference between these two dudes, it's noticeable.
Right.
So, I don't know. Do you think they're going to try and put weight on him?
I don't think there's much. He's pretty maxed out, I think. I think you had to kind of know what you were getting in that situation.
And it is what it is. Not that it's a death sentence or anything like that, or a cap of his talent.
He wasn't really a tackle breaker in college. So if you expect him to come to the NFL, and, you know, that's, you know, so that's kind of on teams at that point. I feel like that's my biggest thing with McCaffrey, and why he had a second round grade for me, was that you have to have a really good offensive line, I think, for him to maximize. Like, I don't think he's going to get through a lot of traffic at the initial line of scrimmage if you're asking him to be a feature back. Can he be a great part of the offense? Can he be fun? Can he be explosive, dynamic? Can he have games where he goes off? And, you know, to me, it's like McCaffrey's going to have games where he hits big plays and where he goes off and makes plays in the passing game that are great and explosive. But consistently, you know, game to game, is this a guy that's going to get you 100 yards on the ground? You know, to me, that was never him, but a really good player still, nonetheless. So we'll see how the Carolina – I mean, I think Carolina, it seems like – I mean, they're keeping Jonathan Stewart around. Maybe they think McCaffrey eventually becomes that guy. I don't know. I mean, why do you take that guy that high if you don't think he's going to be, like, your feature every down play? So that's my biggest thing. So, clearly he's a good player. It's just a matter
teams
of –
teams are taking X-factor players high, though, man.
They're trying to take mismatch guys. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple others before we step away. Marlon Mack had a really rough debut, I thought. He did make one nice play. I think it was a 21-yard catch. He got down to the goal line. He was probably in. Pagano is a terrible head coach, so he didn't challenge it. But other than that, he had 10 carries for 24 yards, and he showed a lot of the concerns that I thought he had in college, where as soon as something went wrong, he tried to bounce out of it and got away from the integrity of the play, or had trouble dealing with traffic, and he didn't always see the hole. And so he has, like, that explosive ability, but it's so – like, he as a runner, he's just very, very inconsistent. So I thought there were some inconsistencies there. Cooper Kupp had a great debut. I know you and I aren't the biggest fans of him, but 4 catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. I told you he toasted T.J. Green. who probably doesn't belong in the NFL, but that's another story. He actually Kupp looked really good in the slot, which we expect. I mean, we said sure. He's a good slot. He's just not a true number one first round top 50 guy like people were talking about. It was ridiculous to me, but he's still a good receiver. And in this offense, perfectly tailored for him. There's weapons around him now. Sammy Watkins on the outside. Are you kidding me? You know, Gurley was effective in the passing game. Robert Woods is a solid number two on the outside. Gerald Everett made a great 39-yard catch, you know, on a really good throw by Jared Goff. This looked like a completely different Rams team. Competent talent all over the field. They were difficult for the Colts' ridiculous secondary to try and cover. Hooker did play, by the way, but I didn't notice him for good or bad reasons. So there's that. Quincy Wilson played as well. Hooker finished with three tackles and Wilson had one, I believe. So I'll have to check the tape on those guys to see how they did. But overall, it was a great start for the Rams, and I thought Kupp was a good play. He did drop one pass. He was like wide open on a third down, and hit him right in the chest, and he dropped it. But other than that, I thought he did some really good things. Who else are we missing? I feel like we're going to forget like one dude, and then everybody's going to be like, are you freaking kidding me? You didn't talk about so-and-so. He had like 15 sacks, and but I can't think of anyone else that really stood out during the week. Dalvin tonight, right? Definitely excited for that matchup against the Saints. Marshawn Lattimore tonight.
Kamara.
Yeah. Kamara. And the Chargers, Mike Williams, I don't know if he's going to play yet, but I think he was off PUP. I don't know what's his status is for the game. I'll have to look. Garrett Bowles going to be out there for Denver, so we got to watch him. So there'll be a lot of talent to watch. I'm excited for it. So tomorrow we'll start talking. We'll recap a little bit of the college football, our impressions from Tuesday. On Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll recap some of our impressions, look ahead to the next week. Talk about things that are upcoming, players we're going to watch, players we're excited to watch if Deshaun Watson ends up starting. Talk about him, what we can expect from that in their next matchup, things of that nature throughout the week. Have fun on Friday, as we always do, and then get ready for another weekend of college football. So just keep it with us right here, Locked On NFL Draft.